Okay, hey everybody, we are live. Welcome to Screen Heroes. If things look a little bit different, I apologize. This is our kind of like mobile station here. We've got some flooding in our normal studio, so
don't apologize. This place looks sweet.
I think it looks cool. And yeah, if you're listening, it should sound relatively the same, though it could sound a little different. I am Derek. I have my hosts Ray.
Sup?
And Ryan.
Hello.
And we have our guest, Chris.
Hello.
What's up?
The ceiling.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
So today we're going to be talking about The Defenders, Season 1 on Netflix. So we will be getting to that. Before we do, is there any news you guys want to cover? Some big stuff happened, announced in the DC world today.
There was some other DC stuff that happened this week, too. Apparently Justice League was unwatchable, according to an industry insider. And so Joss Whedon got there and did a bunch of
unnamed reshoots. Industry insider, probably Casey Affleck, who is...
Key grip number 5.
Said that Joss Whedon watched it and said it was unwatchable.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Guess we'll find out.
I've watched a lot of really bad movies. I don't know what unwatchable means. I feel like they'd have to be pretty bad.
I mean, if we got through Batman v Superman, then, you know, I'm sure it can't be that bad.
We've been through Batman and Robin.
Yeah, but
have you ever walked out of a film?
I have never walked out.
I have walked out of a movie.
Which one?
Cloud Atlas, of all films.
Really?
I just did not like it. I'm sorry.
I turned off Zoolander 2 about halfway through on Hulu because I couldn't do it anymore.
Okay, so if that counts, I did turn off, and I had rented it from Blockbuster as a new release, so that was expensive, right? Thin Red Line, which was that military army movie.
Okay.
It was so boring.
Actually got pretty good reviews if I remember right.
And I'm sure if I had been older when it came out, I may have appreciated it more, but it was just way too slow for me at the time. Mm-hmm.
I think that was probably my biggest beef with Cloud Atlas, is like it was very slow, and I was just like, I'm not interested in any of these characters up to this point. I gave it like 20 minutes, and I'm like, it's just not picking up.
I walked out of 9, the claymation doll.
Really?
I did, yeah.
Oh, I like that movie.
I hated the first like 30 minutes, and I didn't care about the characters. And it's like, these little burlap sacks could all die in a fire now. Okay.
I've walked out of a live show one time, like a play. I actually walked out of Rent, and most people are going to hate me for that. It was one of those things that I didn't like as much. I love the music. I do love the music. I just didn't care for the show.
Funny story. The first time I saw Rent, I lost my virginity that night.
Oh, so. Okay. Nice tangent.
During the show?
During the intermission. Of course. Decided to take advantage of the time.
Well, in actual real...
That was real news. Justice League being unwatchable.
No, it was another rumor, like Ben Affleck not being Batman anymore.
The Joker is going to be in Suicide Squad 2.
Mm.
And
yay.
As the villain this time?
As Jared
hopefully
Leto.
Hopefully it's his death. And
as Jared, the Joker is going to be Jared Leto now? Is that...
And then Gotham City Sirens, and Martin Scorsese is developing a Joker origin story that takes place in the 80s.
Okay.
I mean...
I love 80s movies, so I'm kind of in already.
Is it going to star Jack Nicholson?
I mean...
I'm going to say probably not.
Jared Leto doesn't look old enough to like be doing something as the Joker in the 80s.
Well, Scorsese says he's not doing that film.
So it's not part of like the DCEU or anything?
But if it's the same, is it the same character? Like, is it the same version, just played by a different actor? That would be the question, right?
Can we recast him
in the prequel? Sure.
No, in everything.
Oh, you just don't like Jared Leto.
I didn't like his version, his take on it. He was a weird guy, and it's just not my thing.
So you just mean as the Joker, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not gonna take back his Oscar as. In Dallas Buyers Club. He did fine there. He's just a weird dude.
Anyone watch the eclipse yesterday?
Yeah. Did not burn my retinas?
I did not look at it. So, I used my phone camera.
Oh, that's sad.
I didn't have glasses. So, you know, what are you going to do? Wonder Woman broke $800 million.
Nice.
She did.
Which, it's now the highest grossing origin story of all the superhero comic book movies, so that's a big milestone.
Katie Sackhoff got cast in The Flash.
That's
she really did. The TV show.
What?
The villain? I don't remember.
She's being called the Blacksmith. And they are really, like, digging at that well for villains at this point, so I'm not entirely sure who the blacksmith is.
And is she going
to
be like,
I'm going to have to dig out my DC encyclopedia.
You know,
remember two she seasons ago on Arrow when they advertised for Jerry Ryan? They were like, she's going to be a huge part. She was in two episodes.
Yeah, 2 minutes each.
That was disappointing.
Well, let's hope she's the overarching villain and that she's not a speedster.
Well, I know she doesn't.
They have said they're going to do a lot less speedsters.
Well, they said that last season, too. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to their credit, they did do fewer speedsters because it was
still
one speedster.
Well, she doesn't show up until episode 5.
That's fine.
So
I don't need
the No, but there could be like rumors swirling about the head honcho or whatever.
Yeah. Anything else in the news recently? Non DC stuff?
Nothing
really.
I've heard or remember.
Oh, I'm good.
Okay. All right.
I mean,
cool.
It's really just the Defenders.
Okay, well then let's dive into it. So we'll go around and give our spoiler-free review first, and then we'll give our spoiler warning and dive in for people who may not have binge-watched all 8 episodes.
Are we ranking it
or people
Netflix
who
universe
just
now?
Don't care?
You want to rank it?
Are we ranking it in the Netflix universe now, or do we want to do something like that at the end?
We usually
do that
with
the Marvel movies.
No, you're right. Let's do it at the end, because I've discovered as we do this, my personal ranking of a movie changes drastically from the beginning and the end of these episodes. Sometimes for the good, sometimes for the bad. So we'll just have to wait and see. So, Chris, why don't you start us off with your spoiler-free?
Oh, okay.
Take on the Defenders.
Well, I took all weekend to watch it. I watched about 2 episodes a day, and it kind of gave me time to process it without having to like binge it back to back. And I thought it was really good. I mean, it started off really slow. It had kind of a slow burn for like the first 2 episodes, but after like the end of episode 2, and then from that point on, it actually gradually built and held my attention pretty well. All the characters were engaging. The ones who were strong continued to stay strong, and the ones who were weak to begin with were better this time around. Without really pointing fingers, you know.
Well, we're all going to point the finger at some point.
We all do, yeah.
The same
No,
finger,
but
probably.
Like characters were good. They had strong moments. One of my favorite parts of the series overall was actually like the production like aspect or like the production value, like the use of lighting, the use of music, the use of like camera angles and stuff. I thought that was really well done, especially the lighting, because up to this point, every series has had a very unique filter to it, I guess you could say, like a color scheme to kind of give you a certain sense of what kind of atmosphere this is. And to reflect that, every character had their own lighting.
Mm-hmm.
And there are moments when if one character is on the screen, it's a particular lighting. But if all of them are on the screen, it's a very clever use of like the 4 different main colors that they used to invoke, you know, who's in control of the conversation, who's kind of leading that moment in the scene. I thought that was very well done.
What about you guys, Ray, Ryan?
Well, it was disappointing for me overall. I was looking forward to it, obviously, just like everybody else was since the beginning, since the announcement. And it didn't have the same magic for me as something like the Avengers. Even though I wasn't a huge Avengers fan, I thought it was done better than what they did here. I think that the director was good. The showrunner, I really liked like you said, the colors. Like we can talk about specific examples later on, but they did a good job with the actual clever shots and the direction of the show. But I think that the writing was pretty poor, and the characters were a lot of the characters were wasted, namely the villain, and I think that Jessica Jones and Luke Cage were pretty well overlooked for most of the show. But I mean, it wasn't the worst show I've ever seen, but it was one of the worst Netflix shows, I think.
Right?
I think it was about 8 episodes too long.
That's rough.
I'm gonna agree. I didn't like it. I was bored for about half of each episode, and I probably liked the more boring stuff, especially when they were all separated, because then their characters were moving forward, whereas when they were together, it was just like, let's see who can hit the hardest. And I'm like, I'm good. So,
okay,
my take.
I enjoyed it for the most part. I would say that 6 of the 8 episodes were really good. I feel like towards the end, they might have ran out of money or something like that.
Oh, that green screen.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But overall, you know, I really did like it. I do feel like Jessica Jones was very underutilized, at least compared to the other three. The balance wasn't as nice as I would like. But I did like kind of the same stuff that you guys were talking about. The color schemes were really cool. There were some really great shots. You know, so the production value was really great up until kind of towards the end, kind of at the big climax. So, I definitely didn't think it was terrible. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I would definitely have put it above the season of Iron Fist that we got. Mm-hmm. And I'm tempted. Those who listen to the show know I didn't really care for season 2 of Daredevil. I love season 1. I might put this above season 2 of Daredevil as well. So,
Punisher.
I don't really care for it. We've talked about that. And it's nothing personal about John Berthold or anything. I just I don't find the character too compelling. So, but we're not going to talk about Daredevil season 2 on this episode. So, all right. So we've had our spoiler-free stuff. Those are kind of our generic thoughts. At this point, this is your spoiler warning. It is available on Netflix now, all 8 episodes. If you care about that being spoiled for you because you haven't watched them yet, pause this, come back later, and join us. All right, guys. So, let's dive into some stuff here. What is your least favorite thing? Because some of you seem a little more critical.
How dare you start the show with the worst character?
The first scene
is Iron Fist, for God's sake.
But to be fair, the choreography in that scene was better than pretty much any choreography in the entire Iron Fist series, except for maybe the drunken boxing fight. And really, that was only good because really of the cool. other
I think
guy. Not
part of their part of the reasoning was you just finished Iron Fist, might as well kind of ease you into this series with more Iron Fist.
Okay,
I would have preferred Daredevil, to be honest, but.
I mean, the whole thing's kind of on Iron Fist's back, right? I mean, Daredevil did have to do some stuff with the hand, but this is really about Iron Fist's story.
It's the hand. I mean, it's his villains, really.
Well, Daredevil's, I mean.
Daredevil's too.
The hand is pretty much always his villains.
But Daredevil always has more villains outside of the hand. Like, Iron Fist's villains are almost exclusively rooted in like mysticism and kung fu and whatnot. And so.
You're definitely right.
So then let's talk about that then. So how did you guys feel about it being the hand and the fact that really half of the defenders have no real connection to the hand and no real reason to care too much about such a intense organization?
I would have loved to have seen more of like a Spectre moment. Like you've all seen the newest James Bond film where like up to this point there's been organizations rooted in the hand or in Spectre that are working for them, and it's just kind of like this overarching conglomerate under one umbrella, you know. And so that would have been interesting to see like these smaller groups, these smaller like either terrorist organizations or smaller like gangs or something in New York, either rooted in Harlem, rooted in these, all working under the hand and they didn't know it. And then you find out after the fact. Like, I thought that would have been really cool to kind of make the hand more menacing and more relevant to the other characters like Jessica Jones and Luke Cage.
I agree. If they had extended the hand a little bit more, then... I'm done, guys.
Was that not a pun?
No.
Oh, sorry.
But the fun part about Hydra in Winter Soldier is that how deep it had gone. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they really did that with the hands. I thought the hand was an obvious villain. They've been fighting him since season 1 of Daredevil, and it made sense to me. So, yeah, choose this giant organization that has seeped into everywhere, so you say. But other than that, I didn't feel like there was really any imminent danger for New York. They had an earthquake in episode 1. And that was it? Like, that's all you're doing?
And that probably wasn't even the hand's fault. If anything, it was that guy who was trying to stop the hand in his first attempt to blow up their building.
It was a little weird where, like, okay, so they're going to remove the, quote, substance, which is just dragon bones. And for some reason, removing one dragon skeleton from underneath one building in New York is going to make the entire island of Manhattan blow itself up or something.
I was a little fuzzy on what they were going to do to make New York fall, but I never thought New York was in any imminent danger. So why do these four have to get together? Iron Fist and Daredevil could have taken them out on their own.
I don't know. I think the whole buildup was like on Stick's part. He's just like, you're in for the fight of your lives all like throughout like the first four seasons of these shows. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to it, I'm like, this isn't really a fight. This is kind of a skirmish over not letting you live forever.
Yeah.
So.
Brian, you're being uncharacteristically quiet.
Letting everybody have their chance to speak. The Hand, I guess, is fine. We need to wrap up their storyline at some point. I'm sick of ninjas on these shows, though. Like, let's move into something else. And it looks like, based on the way it ended, that we probably are moving into somewhere else. But, you know, they're a fine villain. And I actually kind of like the way that Luke Cage and Jessica Jones got brought in, how it was like her investigation kind of brought her in, and Luke Cage was looking out for a kid from Harlem that brought him in. They only have reason to care about it because it has a personal tie to them. And there's not a great way to do that in a superhero show like this, especially with four characters that are so different. And mm-hmm. so I thought that way was acceptable personally. Mm-hmm. I could believe it.
Yeah, I thought their motivations were fine. I think what bothered me the most about them getting together is how shocked they all are about their different abilities. This is an MCU universe. They reference the attack on New York all the time, and they know that Captain America's real, and Thor is real, and Vision's real. I mean,
they didn't reference any of those characters in the entire series. It's shocking.
They didn't, but they referenced the attack on New York, and so we know it's one universe, but somehow the idea that this guy's bulletproof and this guy's a ninja and there might be dragons, even though there's like the God of Lightning, and
I can understand like magic and mysticism being slightly unbelievable because it's not rooted in science, but like the remaining three, it would be kind of, I would be a little incredulous to find someone who wouldn't believe these characters exist in this universe.
But like you had those giant flying eels attack New York, right? These aliens that came through a portal in the sky.
Fake news.
But seriously, but they're like, oh, but there's a dragon. That makes no sense. That's where the guy draws the line. Like, so I felt like they quibbled a little too, quarreled a little too much or whatever over those types of issues. And it was almost like they didn't have a good reason to have friction, but they needed the friction. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
I don't know. I mean, the thing about dragons is that they're a staple of our culture. Like they've been in our culture for a long time, and space slugs are like completely crazy, you know? So the fact that they've seen the space slugs, you know, I don't know. I guess I could kind of understand.
Maybe nothing phases them at this point.
I don't know. Yeah. There's not really a good explanation. I don't think dragons should have been that hard to believe.
Well, right. That's my point though, right?
You're not wrong. Yeah. I can't really justify that.
There's an eel the size of the Empire State Building. That we know exists. We saw it happen.
But they can't ever show the dragons. Please, show me a dragon one of these times. God.
They can't handle an elevator shaft. Do you think they can handle a dragon?
This isn't Game of Thrones,
so
man.
Bad.
I don't want to bounce all over the place too much because I do want to get to that. I really do.
Okay.
But we're bouncing around a little bit. So let's kind of go back to the beginning a little bit here. So...
I thought we were going to stick with the villains. My bad.
We can talk villains, sure.
Okay, can we talk about Elektra? Because I think she's a
Should
huge...
we talk about the main villain first?
No, I want to talk about the good part. Oh, Elektra was a huge improvement from her season in Daredevil. Mm-hmm. And I was not expecting her to take over the Hand in this. I knew it was coming. I knew they were lining it up for that, but... I was happy with the way she did it, and I hope now we see a different version of the Hand, and I'd love to see like a 45-minute short of her being the Hand's boss. I don't think she can hold her own season of a show, but I think, you know, I want to see her as the head honcho. So
maybe make her kind of like a Madame Gao character who's there in the other series from this point on, but she's always a thorn in the side of the Defenders.
Something like that.
And it's definitely a personal thing for Matt, but it's also, now that the rest of them have dealt with her as well, she's now a thorn in all their sides, the way Loki is for the Avengers. So
I thought she was great. I liked her outfit for that you get to see in like the hallway fight. Uh-huh. I didn't like her with like the trench coat thing, but I liked her like when it was just the ninja outfit with like the long gloves really and the and the tunic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was great. And the one thing though, okay, so we haven't gotten to Sigourney Weaver yet, so I'm not gonna get to that. But based on what was said in the show, can anybody here tell me what the black sky is?
Nope.
The black sky is a woman fighter who is unbeatable. Who gets beat throughout the show a couple of times.
Think the one, but evil and nefarious.
No, yeah, because the black sky sounds like an event, right? It sounds like a big thing.
Like what happened yesterday.
You know,
right.
It doesn't sound like one person who happens to just be a really good fighter.
I never would have.
Because like she didn't seem to have any abnormal or superhuman abilities.
She did. She was super strong. She knocked Daredevil like across the room at one point in that hallway fight.
Hit people across the room.
Yeah, she was super strong for sure. But that's the thing is they never gave any explanation. There were sometimes when she was super strong. Yeah, but Fisk is also abnormally strong, I think, in the universe. But
like that's my point though, like she wasn't stronger than Iron Fist, right?
She was stronger than normal Iron Fist.
Yeah, when he has his fist powered up, apparently.
Well, that's his math, that's like his power. But outside of that,
well, but, like, my point is that she's supposed to be the epitome of a weapon, right? And at any given time, any one of the four defenders could hold their own against her.
No. Jessica Jones.
Probably not. No, Jessica Jones, while as strong as she is, she's not invulnerable.
Well, she's not a fighter, and she doesn't have the fighting skills to go toe-to-toe with her. She had the strength.
Okay, she has the strength and none of the skills, so she would have gotten murdered in about 2 seconds.
You're missing my point. My point is there was nothing special about the black sky.
If there was, they didn't tell us. They didn't tell us.
Well, they didn't explain that at all.
She's like a legend. No, I agree. That's what I'm saying. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad storytelling, and it's just not good. They didn't do a good job of explaining is this legend about the black sky. Why? What does this bring?
Well, what's the black sky bring to the table? Her, I guess.
Yeah. Why are people sacrificing tons of the hand members to do this and.
Did Sigourney Weaver actually call her Black Sky? Like
everyone did.
Like when they're sitting at dinner, like, Black Sky, can you pass the salt? Like she had no other name.
I don't think she called her by anything like directly. I think
just my child.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So let's talk Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, God. Do we have to?
And
well, her outfits were on point.
And the rest of the players.
She looked really good. She did.
Well, I thought it was really cool that they went with white for her. Everybody else gets a color and she gets white. And that's generally not the villain color, so it was cool. But yeah, so the fingers of the hand, that was a thing, guys. That was a thing that happened.
Yeah,
the fingers of the hand.
It's one of those things that's happens a lot in like movies and TV shows these days where like you throw an idea out there and then somebody gets worried the audience isn't going to get it, so they have to whack you over the head with it.
Well, if they had the Foot Clan in Ninja Turtles and they said that Shredder was the big toe, I don't know if I could do that. I don't think I could deal with that.
Oh, man, what a missed opportunity.
Right? Splinter was a former big toe on the other foot.
You got Bebop and Rocksteady, the little ingrown ones on the side.
The pinky toes with the ingrown nails. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay, so Sigourney Weaver completely wasted. Like,
absolutely.
I kind of liked it at first. Every scene that she was in was like a very, like a serene, basic scene. Like she was feeding pigeons or listening to music or eating a dinner by herself or something like that. There was nothing that would establish her to be scary, but she had some kind of presence.
It was like they tried pulling a Wilson Fisk from Daredevil.
They did. They tried.
But they didn't mirror that with her doing horrific acts of violence, which is what made Vincent
huge, scary guy. Like,
he had moments where he's looking at art, he's eating a nice dinner, he's having these very nice, quiet moments where he's making an omelet.
I think they tried
and then
to
couple
do
that
it.
Where he's decapitating a dude's head off with a door.
I think that part of what they tried to do with her, where they had that like one scene where she's like beating the black sky when she's like fresh out of the womb.
Yeah.
And that scene looked terrible. Like, I'm sorry, Sigourney, like you're a great actress, but choreography is not your thing anymore.
It would have been cool to have seen like a moment where someone tries to come and attack her and she just takes him out with no effort.
It should have
been like, now that's intimidating.
It shouldn't have been martial arts choreography. It should have been something like Madame Gao.
She definitely should have had the telekinesis that Madame Gao has.
It is a little interesting that she didn't. Mm-hmm.
Or did she? And we don't know about it.
Just
she never had her moment.
I mean, Madame Gao never used it until like one off random scene in Iron Fist where she throws Iron Fist in the wall and never uses it again.
I love that scene. She uses it a lot in The Defenders.
Yeah, and she's also basically Luke Cage. We can talk about her if you want. Like, she took a hit from Jessica Jones with a giant freaking pipe.
That shouldn't have
happened. And she, like, ran away easily afterwards with no... Like, she's an old lady, but she has Luke Cage durability and...
Admit Madame Gao is the real MVP.
Oh, I love her. I love her as a villain, but she, like, again, it's going to be a consistent thing with the things I talk about the show is the power levels for these characters are so, so inconsistent weird. All over the place. Worse than The Flash, and I've complained about it on The Flash before. Everybody is
Well, I mean, if you think about Madame Gao, I mean, she doesn't even have to touch somebody. Right, because Danny has to hit you with his fist. She doesn't even have to touch you. It's like she's using the Force.
Yeah, that would be a fun fight to see Yoda. Where like he's throwing punches and he can't land a single one because she won't let him get near.
But then what's the point of the Iron Fist?
That's the point. And it's a weakness for him.
What's the point of the Black Sky?
He needed one.
Madame Gao appeared more powerful than the Black Sky.
No, I totally agree.
Maybe she's the Black Sky.
Oh, no.
My theory from Iron Fist is that she's the Crane Mother and trained on Kun Lun.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, she trained on Kun Lun. They all did.
They didn't say that.
But, you know, that could be true.
I mean, I'd like to see her come back because she's...
I'm sure she will.
One of the more interesting villains.
We know Matt comes back, and it's highly possible.
We haven't dug into that yet.
Unless you show me a body, and that body has no head or something.
People will come back for worse.
Right. No, but I'm just saying, like, show me a body, and until that point, I'm not going to believe that Madame Gao or Elektra are gone. So.
Sure, yeah.
So, as soon as, you know... They show all the fingers and everything. First of all, like, where the hell have these people been, too? Like,
Well, the one guy was
all over the world, right?
One dude's hunting wolves in Japan.
So he was cool. That was a really awesome entrance for him. That was really intimidating. Just, you know, this dude is elbow deep inside this bear. And that's very intimidating. He came off way scarier to me than Sigourney Weaver did.
But then he was the weakest of all the fingers.
He was.
Sounds funny every time.
He was the pinky.
Madame Gao, to me, she was scarier when she was working in the blind heroin lab.
Yeah.
The fact that she just blinded everybody was incredibly badass.
She seemed scarier before we found out she had powers.
Yeah. I really just want her to make me some heroin cookies
I think there was a moment in season one of Daredevil where she knocks him on his ass and it comes out of nowhere and you're like, what was that?
Right.
Now I'm even more scared of this woman.
But now she's just like little lady grandma who's scared of Sigourney Weaver, and Sigourney Weaver's not scary at all. But Solande was my favorite. He was the coolest, and as soon as I figured out he was the coolest and the scariest, I knew he was going to die. I was like, this dude's getting it in the next episode, I swear to God.
Again, this goes back to the power levels being consistent, but Luke Cage is supposed to be unbreakable, people break their hands on his skin, punching him in the face, yet this guy going like this is like really tearing him up and, you know, knocking him back and all sorts of
stuff. I was reminded of Kung Pao Enter the Fist, where he's trying to fight the aliens, you know?
I didn't really think that fight was all that great. I was more referring to the fact that he was sacrificing all these kids. Like, that's scary to me. That stuff
he's
scary
villain thing.
He's got lackeys
who are willing to throw themselves in
front. Yeah, and they're like 16, 17 years old. They're wasting their whole life on this. So, you know, that's the scary part to me. Just like I said, Madame Gao and the heroin lead, that's scary. That's a good villain to
me. The less you know.
Like, a ridiculous fight scene I don't really need to prove that you're the villain. I get it, but... I hate Bakudo so much. Oh my god, why didn't he die earlier? He's so annoying.
Well, he did, but he got better.
Colleen, my child, my friend, let's go.
His speech pattern drives me up the wall. I'm like, you need to die again.
Again.
So was Nobu a finger? One of the fingers?
No,
he was.
So they said he lived like three lifetimes or something like that, so they just resurrect random people?
With Harold Meacham or whatever his name is.
Bear
he was
guy
the number
was
two to
Bear Guy. I don't know his name.
I'm drawing a blank.
Can we just call him Bear Guy?
He was his number two. Like, that was the idea. Is like, because they mentioned that earlier on, like, that he's the one who trained Nobu and And it was responsible, I think, was the term.
Kind of miss Nobu, actually.
I feel like that just means we couldn't get the guy to come back to play Nobu again.
Except Peter Shinkoda told us at Kansas City Comic Con last year, isn't that the con? Yeah. That he was going to be in Defenders, and he lied to us.
Maybe he was supposed really to be.
They pulled a Terrence Howard. They might have edited came back with a Don Cheadle.
Yeah. He could have been in there. Maybe the scheduling changed.
They got the Japanese Don Cheadle.
There's a lot of ways it could happen. For Bakuda, though, do you think that if she had been willing to go back with him, he would have been cool with that? Or do you think he was just trying to trick her?
No, I think he wanted to sleep with her.
Yeah.
He was creepy AF. And...
Well, I think that's part of the thing with the hand is that most of the people that are the fingers, which I still hate saying. are charming, and you don't know which way they're going to go. Like, if he had brought her in, would he have killed her? Would he have, let her work for him and given her the benefit of the doubt? I mean, who knows? Sigourney Weaver, you didn't really know. You knew she was the bad guy, but you didn't know why or which direction she was going with it.
Yeah.
You know, but even Stick, you didn't know which direction he was going, during any of the previous seasons or shows.
I feel Stick is probably one of the stronger points of the series, because I didn't know his motivation half the time, and then when he tries to kill Danny, I'm like, okay, this is really hard to like your character, because as much as...
Danny's always, Jones is very difficult to like.
Right, wow. As much as I don't want you to, like, to kill the character, I can see your reasoning why you do it to, like, keep him away from the hand. I'm like, that's, like, really, really...
So that just seemed very consistent for Stick. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole time, there's no ties that he has to anybody. He doesn't care about anybody. He only cares about stopping the hand. Whatever that takes. If that meant he had to kill Elektra and Matt, he would have.
He would have, yeah.
Right? And so killing Danny was like...
Yeah, he doesn't even know this kid.
Yeah, that's not even a second thought. It's, well, we either have to run for the rest of our lives or kill this kid.
Well, the cool part about that scene was how he took out Luke Cage. That was really cool. Clever to watch.
So I love that, but the editing of that scene doesn't make any sense. Because Luke is with Danny, right? They're talking, he pulled the chair over, they're all, BS and they're having a good time. Cut to, now they're totally in separate parts of that room, not speaking to each other anymore. Like, that whole scene never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like if they wanted that to happen the way it did, they should have cut out the nice, happy conversation.
No, because that's the only time Finn Jones is tolerable.
Is when he's joking around with Luke.
I don't disagree with that. It's a consistency thing for me, right? Because why did they stop talking and being buddy-buddy all of a sudden, right? How much time passed where Luke felt the need to pick up his chair and go into the other room to read the same paper that he was reading, right? So that was a little weird.
When Stick chopped off his own hand to get out of the handcuff, I went, what? Just there was a lot of limb removal in this show.
The one that I liked the most was Misty's arm.
Yeah, I mean,
okay, so I have a problem with that. Small issue.
Mm-hmm.
Final episode of Luke Cage, or the one before, she gets shot.
And she almost loses an arm.
They make the damn comment, she's going to lose the arm if we don't say this. And I was like, that's it. They're going to be bold. They're going to do it right here, and it's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the way they did it here, it was so fast. It was so kind of pointless that it made me think they second-guessed themselves. And they were like, we should have just done it in Luke Cage. And
well, I think probably what it was is that Luke Cage, the writers of Luke Cage, probably made the assumption that they would just handle that in season two of Luke Cage. And then the Defenders got written, and everyone's like, well, we want her in the Defenders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we don't want her to have the arm yet, so we're just going to ignore that happened, basically.
My thing is, if you're waiting around for Danny Rand to pay for her cybernetic arm, then it doesn't matter when she has it or when she doesn't. She's an amputee with or without it. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter when in the timeline she meets Danny Rand. It didn't have to happen.
If anything, it would have been better for Luke to approach Danny after meeting in the Defenders and be like, I have a friend. She needs your help.
Yeah,
you owe me a solid, and Danny would be like, sure thing, here's the arm. They would have written
her out of the show. She couldn't have been the character that she was in the show. No.
Everything could have happened. She just wouldn't have lost her arm there. Yeah, maybe she had it, or lost it in Luke Cage, and she becomes even more of a badass.
Well, here's the thing.
So you're saying she... Sorry.
We all know that she's going to get the arm before Luke Cage season 2 because... Yeah, or before Iron Fist season 2 because they don't have the CGI budget to make an arm disappear for an entire season. So she's definitely going to... She's either not going to be in the season or she's going to have the arm.
Well, that's fair.
That's my point, yeah. So, like, they would have had to have had her be missing an arm or at least a good chunk of her arm for the Defenders for her to be in it with that premise, right? Mm-hmm. And I just didn't think they could handle that.
Yeah, we obviously know their CGI budget was...
Now, do you think they're going to go full-blown, like, cybernetic arm or just, like, prosthetic?
I really hope it's at least the gold. Like,
well, if you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they have Phil Coulson and lost a hand, and they did it with, like, they basically made it a real-looking hand, so they don't need a prop or anything for it, but then he does these cool things, and, like, the lights come out.
Oh, when he makes the shield, that's my favorite.
So, I mean, it's... I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they went that route. I'd much rather them do like gold or silver type, you know, arm. And if they do, it's not going to be from Stark at this point. We know that. It's going to be from Rand, which is cool, I think.
Yeah, it's a budgeting concern. Yeah. I feel like the more they intertwine these four characters and their side characters, the happier I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still waiting for Trish to become Hellcat.
Yeah, I thought she was kind of wasted in this too, because the side characters for... like three of the four shows are the best parts, and in the fourth show, it's a very strong part. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the problem is these shows. If they do it as a Defender season two, it's just going to be huge. It's going to be like 12 heroes in Hell's Kitchen that we have to keep track of. And...
Not to belabor the point, but I also want to go back to when Stick is like, "You're going to be in for the fight of your lives." Maybe this isn't like the big fight. This is just like the penultimate battle before the actual battle for New York with the Defenders. And if that's the case, we're going to have more developed Defenders, more developed side characters, and an actual fight on our hands led by maybe Elektra or Madame Gao.
That's a very long play.
It would be, but it would be cool. I mean, because then we'd have Frank Castle on board.
In all fairness.
Why wasn't he on board in this one?
That's one of my biggest beats of this show as well, is like, there was a teaser, I believe, that came out like a week or two before the show aired. And they teased that Punisher was going to be in the show. And
that was a teaser for Punisher show.
But the way they edited the trailer for the Defenders, they threw in Frank Castle unnecessarily because it made everyone think that Punisher was going to be in the show.
He was just at the end of the, like, after the credits for the trailer, though. I don't think, I mean, I don't know. They didn't show him with any of the Defenders.
It's still enough to convince people that there might be a chance he's in the series.
Sure, I thought there was a chance he could be in the series because he's another person in Hell's Kitchen that is obviously familiar with some of these characters. So that was my reasoning, and I was disappointed that it didn't happen either way, you know?
I just feel like right now he only plays nice with Karen, and while I am totally waiting for that steamy sex scene, I don't think he would play well with anybody else, and who knows?
Maybe Daredevil, because I feel like there was a mutual respect by the end of season two.
By the end, I completely agree with you, and maybe that could have been a really fun antagonizing point as well. Like, that could have been just another issue coming at them, but I'm okay with it. And earlier, to be fair, Marvel has been playing the Infinity War long play for since 2012 now, when
Avengers, but the villain of that isn't like the villain of every single Marvel movie, you know. In this, the Hand has been the villain for two seasons of Daredevil, Iron Fist.
That's most of the shows you had
in Defenders. You basically had,
that's 3 out of 5 seasons. I get that.
And you had the entire leadership of the Hand basically wiped out, except for, I mean, I assume Madame Gao survived,
and
Elektra, right? So you're it's like, that's what's kind of frustrating is, okay, so you had these five incredibly powerful people running this incredibly powerful organization. That's what we're supposed to be told, right? That's what Iron Fist tells everybody, even the dude on the bus. Like, he'll tell you all about it, right? But they were stopped pretty easily.
My name's Danny Rand. I'm a billionaire, and I fight ninjas.
Right? Like, I mean, he'll tell anybody that story. They even joke about it on the show. But my point is that if that was supposed to be really difficult, and now there are fewer of them to deal with, how can that be more difficult?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they're going to play it up.
Because they're not so split amongst five fingers. Now they're like one unified fist instead.
What were you saying?
I was going to say they're just going to basically be the element of surprise because in this show, they didn't know that there was going to be four people coming after the hand, but now they know that there's all these people that are superpowered in Hell's Kitchen, and they're going to be able to go back and prepare for it. That's probably how they'll play it up. Who knows? I think it's a stupid way to do it, but that's the only way I can think of that would be feasible for them.
The thing is that where Netflix has succeeded over the MCU silver screen stuff is that Netflix has kept most of their villains alive. You know, Fisk is still alive, and Mariah and Shades are still alive, and Kilgrave's coming back, but yeah. I think it's probably flashbacks, most likely PTSD stuff, which, if that's the case, I'm a little upset they just glanced over that in Defenders. If she ends up with a bad case of PTSD and she didn't have it in Defenders, that doesn't make
sense. No, it's just going to be coupled with ninjas now. There's going to be, you know, Kilgrave and the ninjas flipping around in the background.
Only they all wear purple because we have to have the same colors for everybody. Right. They can't look different.
But you're right. I mean, they do keep the villains running. Elektra obviously is still around, and
She is still alive.
The hand is still around in some form or another.
Meacham is still alive. He's in prison. Like he didn't. I was pretty sure he didn't get killed at the end of
Harold or Ward.
Harold, I believe
he got cremated.
Yeah, Harold
got cremated. Oh, okay, yeah, he's died. See, that's how forgettable Iron Fist was. That
the other monk and Joy Meacham teamed up at the end.
Davos and
yeah, Joy. Davos, yeah,
because he's supposed to become Steel Serpent.
Yeah,
and I mean, I assume Madame Gal is still alive. I'd be shocked if she wasn't.
Mm-hmm. She's too cool to get rid of.
Do you think they're going to do the Daughters of the Dragon in Iron Fist season 2? Since they've got Misty now with her, probably with her arm and Colin.
That'd be really cool. And
they've confirmed that Misty is going to be in Iron Fist season 2 as a regular. So
really, cool. I didn't know that.
I'm okay with that.
I mean, that'd be great, right? I mean, we already know they're at least for now they're not doing Heroes for Hire, so it'd be cool to see something else.
They can still change that.
Yeah,
Heroes for Hire. They add doesn't necessarily have to be like Luke and Danny. It could be Misty and Colleen.
Well,
Shang-Chi.
They should just call it Daughter of the Dragon if it's going to be that. Yeah, okay. Heroes for Hire is pretty.
Yeah, if you call it Heroes for Hire, people are going to expect it to be Luke Cage and Iron Fist. And if you don't do that, then you're just playing on the
I don't know. I feel like Luke Cage's character wouldn't do things for money. He wouldn't.
He already established that in the first episode of his show.
So. They talked about it in his show that he needed a job. And then in this, they kept joking about him. How are you going to make money? You know, saving people or something like that. So I feel like that there's a possibility. He needs money and he wants to help people. So
Let's keep in mind, Danny doesn't need money, right? And Luke wants to really do the right thing. Heroes for Hire doesn't necessarily mean a paycheck. You know, it just means that these guys are available to help you when you need help.
Yeah.
So you feel like we're going to get like this really cool Ghostbusters montage of everybody loving them and being celebrated in the streets. Like,
who are you going to call?
Not Danny.
If they're running down the streets with Santa hats holding a ghost trap, I'll be
No, so it's just going to be like a hand, but there's going to be like a no across it.
Oh, God.
One of the heads of the hand people. You know,
there you go.
Oh, God.
Talk about maybe the main characters a little bit, like what we thought about. And we haven't talked about any of the Defenders really other than Iron Fist.
I think Jessica Jones was really underutilized. Like, she's physically there for most of it, right? She's there about as much as everybody else, but she has nothing to do.
Well, she had some of the best quips. Like,
they were all in the trailer.
They were kind of spoiled. But, like, in the moment, though, when they happened, I still laughed. I still thought, like, she had amazing reactions to the other characters, so.
But that's all that it was. It's just a little one-liner.
Yeah, she was the comedy relief, basically.
Yeah. Mm. Like, she didn't have anything to do.
And the other thing is, if you haven't watched all the shows, I know that you guys haven't watched Jessica Jones, unless you watched it recently.
Ooh,
so, they, yeah, we're not going to get into that, because I've had my opinion with them several times. But you have no real idea of what her powers are. Everybody else, you know this guy can make a glowy fist and super powerful, and the other guy's bulletproof.
Well, she looked incredibly weak compared to the other ones, so I'm like, oh man, they're going to make up for it by having her finally fly.
I thought so too. At the end when she like jumped up, I thought she was going to fly and like do the thing.
That was the only time where she looked really strong, she holding up the elevator. That was pretty impressive. But any other time, I was like,
You're flipping a garbage can. You're stopping a tow truck that's parked.
Let's think about this. Given how the show ended from a visual standpoint, how bad would it have looked if they actually made her fly?
Come on.
They can do it on Supergirl. They can do it on Netflix.
Yeah, but...
have to have had a similar budget at least.
I don't know, because keep in mind, like, the cast of this show, I mean, you have to pay Sigourney Weaver, you have to pay all four of the Defenders, you've got Stick and Elektra and Colleen and all these other side characters.
Well, maybe that's something to explore in Jessica Jones Season 2, where, like, maybe she doesn't know the extent of her powers because she doesn't like them. And so you got characters like Trish Walker who wants to join, like, the vigilante scene and is like, well, let's see what you can do. And she starts pushing her, and that's when she discovers she can fly.
I think she touched on the fact that she could fly in her first season.
It wasn't really flying. It was, like, leaping tall buildings in a single bound.
Yeah. But, I mean, does she? I think that's what it is in most of the Alias parts of the comic books. Jessica Jones doesn't really fly at that point either. Mm-hmm. Even she only did when she was Jewel.
Yeah.
And so she's refused
to wear that suit in the show.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing. I think her perspective was needed, and having her as a hero would have cheapened the whole thing, mm-hmm. personally.
No, I just...
Understandable.
Just from a budget perspective, I don't think that by episode 7, when the elevator scene happens, and it's one of the worst green-blue screen things I can remember seeing, there's no way making her fly would have looked good. And I'm not saying that, you know, there's any excuses or anything, because, yeah, CBS and the CW can make it work for Supergirl on a regular basis and make The Flash work on the CW, then they should be able to make Jessica Jones fly without much issue. But they also couldn't do an elevator scene, so I'm not really sure, like, well, what the cause was, or they just straight up ran out of money. And that was my concern when we first talked about what that show was going to be. I was really worried they were not going to have enough money to make it look good. Because we didn't know who the villain was yet at the time and stuff like that, and, you know, how big the destruction was going to be, and I was really worried about that. And when they came back and said it's going to be 8 episodes, I was like, okay, cool. So they shaved off 5 episodes. They can use all that money now to make these 8 look great. And they did that for 6 of the 8. Mm-hmm. And then, kind of at the climax, I think they ran out of money.
The whole idea that they were able to stop the hands by just blowing up this building, that magically appeared, high-rise like that... It would have taken a lot longer than a year for that to get done.
If you assume that, like, the shows run parallel with the timeline of, like, the films, you have at least four or five years to build a building in that amount of time.
But, like, we saw it. Mm-hmm. In Daredevil, and
season
it was
two. Yeah, you saw the pit.
Season two was the pit.
And it kind of had a foundation around it. Kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no way they're building that in a year.
Right? Like,
I agree. I also don't think...
I thought it was a lame ending.
It is, and the fact that, like, okay, so the building falls. All right. Can't you dig again? Like, they already know where it is.
I think the idea is that they filled in the whole pit, and, like, the building fell into the pit. That's why the architect had to design it a certain way, so that the building all collapsed into the pit, so that the pit was filled
with... The building is just a giant cork.
Well, sure, but, like, my point is that this organization theoretically has its hands in everything, has trillions of dollars at their disposal. They can't dig another hole
to the same place in the same... I mean, I feel like at this point there's probably going to be an investigation into what was going on, and the Defenders know what's going on, so I guess if they went and killed all the Defenders ahead of time, then they might be able to do that.
They did make mention that there were more places for this substance, so Dragon Bones, I assume, are just everywhere.
They said that this was the last one.
Well, no. They use the last of their resources to make the
block. This is just the first location that they found that they tried digging to.
Right. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And this was supposed to be enough for them to get all the way home and all that kind
of stuff. So is Iron Fist any better for you guys in this than he was in his...
I thought he was better in this than his own season, because he was able to play off the other Defenders.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it's a tough comparison. There's so much less of him, right? Because it's 8 episodes instead of 13. He's not the star of the show. He's a co-star among a group. So you don't get the stretched out dialogue and character that you get in his own show. So I feel like that's kind of the same for everybody, and it worked for everybody except for Jessica Jones, I think.
He felt kind of like a MacGuffin compared to the other characters. It's like, he's the key.
Well, he literally was a MacGuffin.
But like, less than he did like a character. Like, I've seen many movies where, like, the character's MacGuffin, like Batman v Superman, where Superman's the MacGuffin, and, you know, it's Batman's movie. But, like, in this one, he didn't feel so much a member of the group as he did just, like, the character that everyone talked about, because it was his fight. He's the key. It's all of his bad guys, and I'm like, okay.
It was pretty lame when he throws the punch facing the wall that he knows he's not supposed to unlock, and like that was pretty lame. There was no like fun little trick or anything.
I kept yelling at Danny. I'm like,
well, I think the explanation is that he's an idiot. Like, he doesn't do anything smart in the whole movie.
And they say that over and over. They're like, he really is the dumbest Iron Fist.
Yeah, and I mean, so the old Iron Fist could use both hands as Iron Fist, but this guy can't. He has to do this for a few minutes before he can, like, come on.
It does take forever to charge that thing up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does. Yeah,
our pop has both
give him
hands.
Give him both hands. Maybe he hasn't trained that long, I guess. I don't know. But, I mean, he did nothing. I fought for the actor, Finn Jones. I fought for him, and I said, he's going to be good. He's going to be good. Give him a chance. I think he might not be the right actor, guys. I think at this point.
Do you really think it's him?
I think that it's a combination of the writing and him. I don't think he did anything other than get angry in all his season one of Iron Fist and The Defenders.
And he is supposed to be so
serene
chill,
and like, yeah,
kind
like
of
a monk.
Who makes funny like stoner jokes.
Like, ironically, one of my favorite interpretations of Iron Fist in any show is actually The Amazing Spider-Man.
I love them.
He is so fun to watch in that show because he's zen and chill and kind of the stoner. He's like Michelangelo to the rest of the Turtles.
But isn't that really the writing and directing? Because if the director sees that shot and goes, "That was good, let's continue." That's all.
I think
director,
it's the writing,
right?
But I feel I'm just starting to get the vibe from the actor. All his choreography was a little bit better in this, but how much of it was a stuntman and how much of it was him? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I'm still hopeful. I want him, but I'm starting to doubt
the advantages that Daredevil has in a mask. It's much easier to throw a stunt double in scenes.
Then do it.
So put a mask on him at the end of the show.
So,
but remember, this is the MCU where things are supposed to be relatively realistic. Right? There's not a good reason for him to have a costume in The Defenders.
Unless his face is so publicly well known, and because
he doesn't care, he likes that.
But at the end of this season, it should have been like, when Daredevil said, "You go protect my city," that's when he should don a mask and be like, "I'm gonna be the new hero."
I don't think he's ever gonna wear a mask, because he loves that he's Danny Rand and also the Iron Man.
And he tells everybody.
Yeah, he's like the Iron Man of the Netflix shows.
I used to make fun of Batman because he would tell any chick he was going to sleep with that he was Bruce Wayne.
You want to know my secret identity?
And then Danny Rand's just like, "Hey, homeless person, I'm a billionaire. Have $1 million and look at my glowy fist."
I mean, like, pretty much, yeah. But like, I think that's kind of the point, though, is like, it wouldn't make sense to put a mask on. So from a choreography perspective, you know, Jessica Jones and Luke Cage don't have to have cool choreographed fights. Daredevil and Iron Fist do, but Daredevil has the advantage of the mask, so you can throw a stunt double in there much easier.
I will say this, I don't know where it was. The abandoned building was kind of like a theater where they had their fights. The stunt doubles were great. I could not tell when they stepped in and when they stepped out, but just movie magic, I know somebody did. And it was a really good scene. That was fun. That was one of the best fights in the whole show, was between Daredevil and Iron Fist. And the same, I guess, brushstroke here or whatever, I was annoyed that they fought so much with each other while everything else was going on.
I think that was fan service more than anything. It's like, who's going to win, Iron Fist or Luke Cage? Okay, guys.
Yeah, in Avengers, Whedon said, like, oh, and we answer the question, who wins, Cap or Iron Man? Yeah. I'm like, do we though?
Or
like,
do we need to see Thor's hammer hit Captain America's shield, because fanboys have been arguing about that for a million years? You know, come on.
I kind of want to.
I mean, sure. Was it cool? Yeah. Was it necessary? No.
I was that fanboy.
So next up is Defenders Civil War. Is that what you're saying?
Probably. So we haven't talked about Daredevil much. What did you guys think about Daredevil in this?
I thought he was great. Still, I thought Luke Cage was great too. Yeah, I thought those two guys were both really good.
The only thing where I think they failed out. And I don't think it was Charlie Cox that failed at this. I think it was the writing and the direction of the thing, is that they tried to make him the leader. Stick even says, you need to lead this team, and they didn't do a good job of putting him forward and making him the leader. So, but everything else made sense. His motivations to save Elektra made a ton of sense, especially after the first or last season of Daredevil. Mm-hmm. And his choreography was amazing. His interactions with Foggy and Karen were so good. Like, Charlie Cox is maybe the best actor on that show.
He is the best actor. He could lead a movie. He could do his own movie.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't even mind that. I would be happy if he were the only character from the series to branch into the silver screen alongside the other Avengers. That would be amazing.
He belongs with Chris Evans.
I think him not coming through as a leader was kind of a point, though, because the character he didn't want to be. Mm-hmm. But he needed to be, right?
And the reluctant that leader. But instead of being the leader, he's the guy who took the bullet. You know, everyone else got to escape. And so instead of being a leader, he's like, I'm just going to be the protector.
I feel like maybe
he didn't do it for that.
I know.
I feel like that's the reason why he didn't step up to be the leader, because he knew in the end he wasn't going to choose these strangers over Elektra.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's the thing. Like, he didn't stay down there for some altruistic reason. He stayed down there because he wanted to try and get Elektra. You know, like, that's not, you know.
She's very pretty.
She's a very harsh pretty. She has a lot of hard angles.
Yeah. Well, so we're running close on time here, so let's go ahead and kind of do like a grade or a ranking of some kind. How do you guys feel?
D plus for Defenders.
Alrighty. Anybody else?
To get away from, I guess, the grades, I'd give it maybe 3.5 stars.
Okay.
I'm going to go back to the grades and say, I probably enjoyed it more than you did, but not a lot more. Like, I'd say probably a C, maybe a C minus. I mean, I don't know. It just was disappointing.
I talked more about what I liked because I didn't just want to bash on the show. But overall, I thought it was a poor follow-up with too much action, not as much substance.
The
interactions
between the Defenders
were
pretty good. Like, there was positives.
I love seeing Jessica Jones and Luke Cage talk to each other again.
Oh, I want them. They need
every
to hook
time,
up.
Every
Dump
time
Claire,
Luke
I like
Cage
Claire,
came but on screen, in my head and out loud, my sister and I both went, funky.
Claire's not going anywhere.
Don't kill her off or anything. Like, hook her up with Daredevil, but since we know Karen's going to be going to Punisher. I'm saying that Jessica Jones and Luke Cage need to be a thing.
Interesting. They can't hook anybody up with Daredevil because he's going to have to keep going back to
Elektra.
Like, that's going to be the big thing, right? She's the bad guy with the hand, but they still love each other.
Yeah.
And
Daredevil is
right. Yeah,
Daredevil is Batman without the money. He always has been.
Is Elektra Catwoman then with a much bigger empire?
Yes.
Okay.
She's a more successful.
She
Catwoman.
Took the money.
Basically, take the resources of Batman and give them to Elektra.
I don't think Catwoman wants an empire. She just wants to do her own thing. She likes the independence.
Mm.
It's part of her character.
Right. What grade would you give it?
I really love the first 6 episodes. I really did, which is kind of the opposite of most of the Netflix shows, where it takes like 4 to really get going. So I'm going to give it a C+.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really good, but I thought it kind of fell apart at the end.
So we haven't talked about the ending at all. We should probably touch on that.
Let's do that as we close out.
You mean all 10?
Yeah, the Return of the King style. So in the comic books, Iron Fist does take over as Daredevil for a short time.
Yes.
Do you think that's what they're kind of setting up with him on the rooftop?
Yes.
I think that was a little bit of fan service. Like, yeah, he's going to protect the city. But the city is a little vague because he's going to have the island of Manhattan. He's not going to be Daredevil. He's just going to help in Hell's Kitchen.
Maybe.
It would still be nice to see him put a mask on and emulate
Maybe,
Daredevil.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe that's how he gets his mask, is like he decides he needs to be a vigilante like Daredevil.
And then he just realizes that he's the Dread Pirate Roberts, and then masks are terribly comfortable.
Yeah.
I don't see him ever donning the Daredevil cowl.
No, I don't think he's his own.
I mean, that's a possibility, but I don't think he's going to pretend to be.
Although that would be a really interesting story point to do in like the upcoming third season of Daredevil, where like Matt's secret identity comes into question, and to throw people off the scent, he has Danny wear the suit for him which has happened in the comics many times.
I feel like that'd be a little lame.
I don't know,
but I mean, it'd be a good way to like
they did it on Arrow.
I just want to see Daredevil with a glowy fist, so I think that would be, like, if they do that, that would be the fan service for me, like, the Captain America Thor.
All the power.
No, I'm saying Iron Fist in the costume.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Just so many, like, actually, you know what, now I think about Supergirl did it too.
She did.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, it's just, it's done a lot.
It's been done, yeah.
It's done a lot, and I get
it. The misdirection.
Yeah, well, because I get that at some point, some character close to this person is going to start to second guess things, right? I understand that, but you know, you don't have to force it on every vigilante show. It's not necessary.
But it's such a common trope in
I don't want to see
in the read, like the source material, not the show, but like the stuff that came before it. It's been done so many times that like to not do it, I feel, would be
just plenty of things they're not going to do in the show, and things they are going to do that wasn't in the comics.
I almost thought they were going to be bold enough to just completely kill off Daredevil, to be honest, because when...
They kind of ruined that.
They totally did. But when Karen and Foggy are standing there, and they are waiting for Matt to come in, and he doesn't, and...
That was heartbreaking.
They don't pull it out and make him walk in anyway. Like,
that whole scene was wasted, though, because 2 minutes later you find out he's still alive.
On that point,
are you guys excited for the Born Again storyline that they're kind of teasing in by the ending of that?
Yeah,
with
definitely.
His mom and everything?
Yeah. I'm honestly more excited for Jessica Jones, but that's because they revealed that the main villain is Typhoid Mary, who was absolutely butchered in the Elektra movie, so I'm looking forward to seeing her again.
Well, not the most popular storylines, like the Shadowland crossover in Marvel Comics would be another interesting approach to take with Daredevil, where now he's an agent of the Hand.
Yeah.
Who's like the vessel of the beast and everything.
But
and
would that be something that somebody would want to watch the hero doing bad stuff the whole time?
True. But it would be interesting to see a Daredevil who's now doing stuff that's even more questionable than what was before. Like, he's not just bloodying people to a pulp. He's actually, like, killing bad guys.
I'm a little on the kind of like Bullseye. You're going to basically have... So this building collapses in, and at least three characters are going to survive that collapse. And
they're the only three characters in the building, so, yeah.
Well, there are other ninjas and stuff. Yeah.
There was the guy that was stuck on the spine.
Yeah, he's probably...
He could be okay.
He's probably dead. But
he's a pinky.
Yeah, he was
all,
a pinky.
All the little fingerlings are dead, too, I would imagine.
There's Bear Guy and Bakudo and...
Well, Bear Guy is the guy that's on the spike, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he could still theoretically be alive. We didn't see a body. There's no decapitation.
I figure it looked like he died in front of Gal.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure he's dead.
Maybe he like had a little piece of dragon bone in his pocket and he started chewing on it.
punching on it.
Juicing it with a
super
strength.
I know, that kind of stuff is just a little frustrating because they had this giant collapse. This is a huge build up to everything, and like the three most important characters down there are totally gonna be fine.
Yeah.
Like that's just, I don't know, like, don't get me wrong, I didn't want them to kill off Daredevil because I really like this.
No, but they should have left it ambiguous.
Very they should not have had a resolution at the end of it.
I like the ambiguity, but I also get that, like, this is what ruined movies like The Dark Knight Rises and stuff like that. You can't have ambiguity because audiences are going to be confused.
Audiences are dumb.
Exactly. That's why
they do
this.
The difference in that is that you knew you probably weren't going to be getting another movie in that series, whereas this one, you know that there's already another Daredevil season. That also kind of pulled me out of the moment. I was like, he's not going to die. There's another season of Daredevil, so we know he's alive.
I think the average person doesn't know.
That may be true. But then are they going to go online and go, is Daredevil really dead? And then it's going to pop up, no, he's coming back for season 3 of the show.
If they want to perform that search, I mean, that's a personal choice that they make, right? I think the average person watching these shows doesn't know that this has been signed and Jessica Jones is currently filming or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, they don't know that. Watch the show.
I still think they should have left the ambiguity there.
Totally agree. But... Yeah. All right, guys. So we are over our time. Let us know what you thought of The Defenders, Marvel's The Defenders on Netflix. We'd love to know what you think. Do you agree with us? Disagree? Next week, Ryan and Ray are going to be doing the top animated shows, your top animated shows or something like that, right?
Yeah, top 5 animated shows.
And I won't be here. They'll be joined by some other guests. So stay tuned for that next week. And Chris, if people wanted to get a hold of you out there in the social media verse, how do they do that?
They don't. No, I have a page. It's a cosplay page. It's Will Royce Creations. WILLROYCE, for those of you who don't know how to spell that. Just look me up there. I try to post new stuff. It's kind of hard because I'm working full-time and taking classes online right now. So a lot of what I'm doing has been put on hold, but that's where I'll post all of my stuff.
Awesome. And for us, we're the Heroes Podcast Network at Heroes Podcasts on all the social medias and heroespodcasts.com. Don't forget to go to iTunes and leave us a review and all that good stuff.
Before we leave, Derek, you need to sing some ABBA for us.
Oh, I get to witness this.
I don't have any lyrics. Why am I singing ABBA?
Just pull up Mamma Mia.
Because somebody paid for you to sing ABBA.
Somebody paid for me to sing ABBA?
Is that what happened?
Does someone want to explain what that means while I pull up some lyrics here?
I think you lost a bet.
No, not Ryan. Technically. I mean, so we're bending the rules a little bit because this wasn't technically the agreement, but we want everybody to get their money's worth. So We did a Patreon kind of contest. I don't know if it's a contest, but where if we got a certain amount of money, promotion, sure, there you go. A certain amount of money, then anytime Derek mentioned Star Trek on the podcast throughout the month of August, he had to sing ABBA lyrics. Even if he didn't know the song, he had to make up.
And that bastard went 4 weeks without mentioning Star Trek unprovoked.
So
he was only on the podcast 3 weeks.
That's the thing. Part of the reason why we're adjusting things is I missed a couple of episodes, and that seems unfair to everybody because I probably would have mentioned Star Trek at some point in this. I got it. I'm good.
He picked his own song.
Wait, what song did you pick?
You'll have to wait and see.
Damn.
Or listen, or whatever.
Anticipation is.
But yeah, so I just think, you know, fair is fair, and because we made the goal, and I missed some episodes, and that's not cool, so we're going to do this, and...
He seems really excited about this.
I don't sing particularly well.
I agree.
You know?
I've heard you sing
Green
Creed.
Green Day is kind of
was it Creed or Nickelback?
Yeah, that did. Not Nickelback. It was Creed. And Will Smith. I did some Fresh Prince.
He did.
It's like trying to decide which turd you're going to pull out of the toilet between Nickelback and Creed, though. So I know the fact that it was Creed didn't really save you.
Creed was done ironically.
I don't think it wasn't very ironic. I was there.
I mean, the other guys I was singing with, we thought it was hilarious.
I'm sure, but they're not
really on John. It was a good time.
Anyway. Don't put it off, Derek.
Now,
Rachel, will you beatbox for it?
No.
See, this is what's really tough. I don't have any music, and so I need something. Otherwise, I'm going to do this William Shatner style.
Oh, God. Why is he climbing the mountain?
If you're a Trekkie out there and you haven't seen...
Shatner of the Mount.
Yeah, you have to go out on YouTube and check that out. It's from Star Trek V. Which is the one where he's climbing the mountain at the beginning.
Why is he climbing the
mountain? And it's one of the most amazing videos of all time. So you should check that out. Anyway, I'm only going to do one verse.
That's fine. I think that's fair.
So, okay. This is...
Oh, God. It's almost cringeworthy just being here, so I'm excited.
I think it's cringeworthy right now.
That's
so
great.
Here we go.
I love it. This may be the first hour and a half podcast.
This is difficult. I just got to do this. Let's just do it.
Terrible.
I'm trying to figure out how to get started, like, tone-wise. This is very difficult for me.
Me.
That was perfect.
There you go.
I'm going to sing it to Ryan.
Oh, good
Lord.
I'm going
to sing this to Ryan.
This is going to be amazing.
Yeah. Ryan.
Derek.
You are the dancing queen. Young and sweet, only 17.
Oh, my God.
Dancing queen. Feel the beat from the tambourine. Oh, yeah. You can dance. You can jive, having the time of your life. Oh, see that girl. Watch that scene. Dig in the dancing queen.
She's digging the dancing queen? Is that how that is?
I mean, I don't know. Okay. I just read the lyrics. I don't write them.
Whatever the case is, that was beautiful, Derek. I think I'm in love with you now.
Thank you. So we're going to do something different for Patreon this month, where we are going to film a super low-budget scene, a classic, iconic scene from a movie. So if you contribute,
or TV show, you can,
or TV show, yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you contribute to Patreon, you can send us your suggestions, and we will send that video out on Patreon only for our contributors. Though maybe we'll have a short little snippet public, so other people
we may
can
release
kind of
it
get
later
a taste
for people.
Or something. Yeah,
something. We'll figure something out.
So, Ian got the fun idea to bring Custom Couture in on this. So really, it's just Gamer Heroes missing out on the fun stuff.
Oh, but they're our most successful. I don't know if
you
know
that.
Oh,
yeah, no, that's right, that's right. Mm. We're left in the dirt.
Yeah.
I've never said that.
Whatever.
Anyway,
if we get two new $5 contributors to Patreon in the month of September and October, we will film a pie-eating contest between Ian and I in...
Do we get to do the patrons get
patrons
to
patrons get to pick
vote
the
on
flavor
the
of the pie?
Do we get to choose the costumes?
No.
Damn.
Like, that's not happening.
Will you give a selection?
All right, guys. So that is going to
are
be
you
going to
donate the $5?
Like, I'm intrigued.
We are way over time, but we're trying to do some fun stuff on Patreon. Patreon.com/heroespodcast. At least check it out. Every dollar helps. We really appreciate it. Shout out to Jordan and Doc Rev, our two biggest contributors. Thank you guys. We really appreciate it. You help us do this stuff. We'll catch you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in.